Next Level Pet People give their dogs next level protection from parasites with NexGard Plus, a Foxaloner, Moxidectin, and Pyrantel chewable tablets. The one-and-done monthly treatment protects against fleas, ticks, heartworm disease, roundworms, and hookworms. NexGard Plus comes in a tasty beef-flavored chew, so you don't have to use next-level tricks to get your dog to take it. Use with caution in dogs with a history of seizures or neurologic disorders. Dogs should be tested for existing heartworm infection prior to starting a preventative. Talk to your vet about NexGard Plus for next-level protection for your dog.
How to have fun anytime, anywhere. Step one, go to ChumbaCasino.com.
ChumbaCasino.com. Got it.
Step two, collect your welcome bonus.
Come to Papa, welcome bonus.
Step three, play hundreds of casino-style games for free.
That's a lot of games, all for free.
Step four, unleash your excitement.
Woo-hoo! Chumba Casino has been delivering thrills for over a decade. So claim your free welcome bonus now and live the Chumba life. Visit ChumbaCasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
We're going to cause trouble. Scott Farrell is calling the shots from the sideline. We're going to make fun of people. We're going to hurt people's feelings.
It's Farrell on the bench.
I believe in whipped cream with everything. All right, Farrell on the bench with Carver High. 844-843-6879 is the number. So anyway, Kent Bazemore went on record as saying about your boy, Curry, 49 points in 29 minutes. That's unreal. We got guys hurting hamstrings to keep up. So he made fun of Beal. He literally made fun of Bradley Beal, who got hurt. And so he called him out and literally bashed him. And then tonight, Beal, who did not play in the Wizards' one-point loss to the Hawks, where Westbrook broke the record for triple-doubles all-time, number one all-time, past Oscar Robertson. In the middle of it all, Beal wrote Bazemore literally at his, you know, Twitter handle. He wrote, "You don't know me or Shaq about me, bruh. You don't know why I go out there and play, and it damn sure ain't for another man's approval. You a straight lame. But it don't surprise me coming from you. That's what yo type do." Boom. And then I want to add right here to the end of that conversation, I just want to add my little two cents. It's just this quote. "What do you mean? You people," end quote. "But that's what yo type do. What do you mean, yo type, bruh?" How about that? Now you got a little action going here between Kent Bazemore with his broke-ass game playing for the Warriors. I mean, you got to admit, his game's broke-ass. And then Bradley Beal, who dropped 50 the other day and tweaked his hammy. Listen, the guy's second in the league to Curry in scoring, down to like point something, right? It's that close. And I don't think anyone, Carver High, can question Bradley Beal's game, right? He's a badass. That's just all there is to it. And Kent Bazemore, you know, I think when he played with the Hawks in Atlanta, he had his best years and he scored the most points of his career. But he's never... he can't hold Bradley Beal's package. That's just all there is to it. I mean, one guy's a bum and the other guy's a superstar. So how about your boy Beal giving Bazemore the business back?
I like it because, like you said, Bazemore's a hack. So, I mean, who cares what you think, dude? Like, you're so finished, you're washed, etc. Beal's still lighting it up. I got no time for Bazemore, to be quite honest.
They're beating the Jazz tonight, the Warriors. Of course they are. The Jazz have the best record in the league, and then your boy Curry and the Warriors are beating their ass. It's not that bad. It's a close game, but they're beating them. They're beating them in San Francisco. It's bottom line. Same old story. Curry, Green, et cetera. Wiggins chipping in a little. I'll give you an idea of, at the very least, what's happened tonight. There's been all kinds of chaos. We welcome our radio affiliate, SiriusXM Channel 204, Mightier 1090 in San Diego, near Tijuana. Do you wanna? And of course, Sports Map Radio, Sports Byline, Armed Forces Radio, Hoorah Soldier, Hoorah, it's For All on a Bench with Carver High. The Spurs beat the Bucks 146-125, Grizzlies 115-110 over the Pels. Oh, I got to see the number I had on.
Bucks take a vacation tonight at home? I guess they took vacation night for the Bucks. They let the Spurs beat them around tonight? What is that?
Well, it was on the Riverwalk, so it was down.
Yeah, but still.
They got whacked. Pelicans covered the 10. Grizzlies beat them by 5. Hawks won. I had the Wizards in 6. Cover on both ends of that one. Pacers, I laid 2.5. They won by 9. And then right now the Blazers lead the Rockets 74-61 in the second, and the Warriors lead us 54-49 at the half in the city by the bay. So there you go there. I saw that they're trying to resolve this Aaron Rodgers mess. And allegedly, are you seeing this? That I guess Rappaport's reporting that the Packers have made Rodgers a significant long-term contract offer.
So it had nothing to do with money.
Everything's about money. Everything. Even when they say it's not about money, it's definitely about
years.
Money.
Is this more about years to say, you know, they're not going to play the kid anytime soon because they're paying me for so much longer?
Well, they also came out over the weekend. I think I don't know if it was Gutekunst. I think it was. He said that Love is a long way off from being ready.
A long way off. I mean, honestly.
He's got a lot of work to
do. What a lie that is. He's a long way off. The kid was drafted in the first round of the NFL draft. None of them sit anymore. And now he's a long way off. He's already sat 1 year. How long till Love's agent comes knocking at the door? All right, get rid of us now. You know, I mean, please.
Yeah. So Rodgers is fifth among quarterbacks when it comes to yearly average salary. At $33.5 million. Mahomes is the highest paid at $45 million. So obviously it's about money. No one wants to admit it, but that's what it is. It's about money. He wants long-term commitment, and he wants to be paid as the highest paid quarterback in the NFL. It's that simple. All right, For All on a Bench with Carver High, we thought we'd hook up with our good friend Felix Taverna out at Mightier 1090 in San Diego. His race and sports show is very popular on 1090 on Saturdays. I can't keep track of all of it, but I know it's fantastic, and it gives you great skinny on everything going on in SoCal and certainly at the tracks and with the ponies. And we loved having him on the show previously, and he's back again. And I don't know how pleasant it's going to be, but I'm going to get right into it with him. Felix, how you doing, buddy?
I'm doing good. Thanks for having me.
So I got to tell you, you know, I'm not a fan of this guy, Baffert, at all. Zero. I just, there's something about him that rubs me the wrong way. I think he's been, you know, I think it's been going on for a long time and no one ever does anything about it. I think he's dominated horse racing for a long time. I get all that. That's fine and dandy. But for me, you know, five times in one year, his horses have been busted for drugging. And you're going to tell me that you're going to listen to anything that comes out of this guy's mouth. And what bothers me about him is that NBC, when they do these Triple Crown races, I mean, literally every year, it's the Bob Baffert show. I mean, it is literally Bob Baffert and no one else matters. They literally talk about this guy like he's Jesus Christ and everybody else is completely irrelevant in the business. No other trainer, no other horse, nothing matters except what Bob Baffert's doing. And I think he cheats. And I think it's incredible what's happened after Medina got popped. And then it's even worse is all these lies about, you know, people in the stables going to the bathroom in the hay and everything else. Like, I mean, where are they coming up with this stuff, Felix?
Well, You know, first, I would peel it back a little bit. Bob Baffert's a very, very good horse trainer, and I think that he gets the best stock. And I'll just take this isolated incident that happened during the Kentucky Derby. I kind of find it suspicious. I really do, because there's 19 horses that are in the Derby, and only one test positive for, and it wasn't a doping situation. I mean, the media puts it on as a doping. Bob Baffert doped his horses. He didn't. He injected an anti-inflammatory, which that's how the drug is administered. And he says, you know, that he's never administered, you know, an injection to this colt. So then, how did it get there? I think it's really unfortunate. And if you really want to go ahead and peel the onion back, let's go back down to South Florida with George Navarro and Jason Service when they got indicted for using performance-enhancing drugs over a period of 2 years. This is a wait-and-see approach, because how can you accuse somebody? And I'm talking about this as an isolated incident. I don't want to go back to his previous, but I want to talk about this one, because this is the biggest stage of them all. This is the Kentucky Derby. And how can you proclaim that this guy's guilty without giving him due process? Everybody in this country deserves due process. And I think Kentucky, the horse racing committee there, fumbled the ball on a number of fronts, and just the protocols, how it all went down on Sunday. He learned from social media that his horse placed, or, you know, tested positive for an illegal. It wasn't an illegal drug. It was just over the limit, because the drug is not illegal. So it's an anti-inflammatory to prevent swelling. So everybody's jumping on him right now, and it's horrible for the sport. Here we are fighting our way through this pandemic and trying to rebound, and the left are out here. They want to end thoroughbred horse racing. PETA, I'm not, you know, I wouldn't be so surprised if PETA wasn't somehow involved in this situation, because they're trying to end horse racing in the state of California, and they're doing a pretty good job. And I mean, Baffert would have to be extremely stupid, Scotty, to bring a horse to Kentucky and have him test positive. That would, he didn't, I mean, what was the game? I mean, he's won everything else. And I think that if this comes back as a false positive, then how are you going to restore the excitement in all what he has done with this colt? And, I think he's a really a broken man right now. I saw him on Fox. I saw him on CNBC. I watched the Dan Patrick interview today. And I've had Baffert on 15 times over the years. And this, I believe Bob Baffert. I believe that there's something more to this story. I can't believe that. And it's not a drug. I mean, it's not an illegal drug. It's an anti-inflammatory where he went over the limit. And, a rule's a rule. But the judge and the jury seem to be acting out here in the social media categories and the platforms. But, it's very unfortunate. There's no winners. And now we got to go, you know, here I am Saturday. I had him on my radio show. I'm on a very, very big high. He's sharing with us about all the experiences down at Churchill Downs in the Kentucky Derby. And then Sunday morning, I wake up early and I'm getting banged with texts with this finding. And so it's very unfortunate for the sport we love.
So, and I love it too. What about, I have to ask you, like, obviously, you know him a great deal and you've had him on a million times. I know you're talking about the isolated incident here, but I mean, at some level ask you, like, how many times does this guy have to be accused of drugging horses before anybody believes that he does it? Like, I mean, he's had five in the last year. I mean, is that not also a problem to you?
Well, the five went over. It was extended. And it goes back to contamination with Justify and the Gamine and the Charlatan suspensions. It took a while for them to rule on that. But if you think, Scott Farrell, and you're from Mount Lebanon High School in Pittsburgh, one of the most historic high schools in the city of Pittsburgh, if you think Bob Baffert is the only one that's cheating in this game.
I'm not suggesting that. I'm asking simple, straightforward questions about how many times does a guy have to be blamed for doing it before you finally, you know, if there's smoke, there's fire, Felix. I mean, do you really believe all these people are out to get him? Like, there's this conspiracy that everybody's out to get him because all he does is win? And what does he have to gain? He keeps gaining. He keeps getting bigger and bigger and bigger. I mean, he's to the point where he's bigger than the sport.
Well, he is the face of the sport. There's no question about it. And he's the most recognizable face in thoroughbred horse racing. I can't deny that. And I can't deny what you said, too. He has had some positives, but this one hurts more than all of them combined, because this is the biggest stage of thoroughbred horse racing in a sport where public perception is everything right now. And I can't tell you how much hate and destruction has been caused by this from people who have really been divided. It was like the election, you know,
right.
Pro Baffert, anti Baffert. And
right.
It's very unfortunate. The sport is hurt.
Hey, Felix, hold on
it's,
a second.
Unfortunate.
Can you hang out? Felix, can you hang out for a few minutes? I got a break and we'll come back and continue this conversation. Is that all right?
You got it.
All right. We're talking to the great Felix Taverna out at Mightier 1090 in San Diego. We'll have him right back here on the bench. All right, we're talking to the great Felix Taverna from Mightier 1090 in San Diego. He does a killer show, the Racing Sports Show on 1090. And we love having him on the bench to talk about the ponies, getting ready for the Preakness this week down at Pimlico. And I guess Medina's headed to the Preakness without Baffert. And then I have to ask you, you know, you and I talked at great length about that field for the Run for the Roses. And frankly, I don't know anyone on the face of the earth that had Medina winning that race. And the horse ran like the wind from the belly to belly. He led it belly to belly. And then he failed the test with the anti-inflammatory, whatever. It's not illegal, but he had too much of it in him. So I don't. What's the difference? I don't really know what the difference is. It's not illegal, but he had too much of it in him. So that confuses me. No one thought that horse was going to win that race. Not any better I met. And the horse won the race. Now he's going, what's going to happen, Felix, to the horse? Is he going to be in the Preakness? I don't think anyone's going to ruin Bob Baffert's, fame and fortune. I think the guy is enormous. I don't deny that. But he's already got problems down in Churchill Downs. I know that. And is he not allowed to go to the Preakness? Is that what's happening here?
Well, they can't prevent Medina Spirit to run or not run in the Preakness. If he faces and he passes all the protocol, they can't punish the horse. Baffert will not be at the Preakness. Best decided that he not go down there. I mean, it would be just. It would be a circus down there, and and Baffert has two horses, Concert Tour, that will be entered in the Preakness. So it's just very unfortunate, and I know in my heart I am not going to base judgment until that split sample comes back, and if it's a contamination or it's a false positive, then will you apologize to Bob Baffert on this occasion? I mean, how do you, you know, how do you get back the hurt and the destruction that this has caused? And, you know, the testing process is something that I wish I could talk to you for an hour on this, because I followed this now for the last 48 hours. The lab was terminated by Churchill Downs, and they had to send the samples to Colorado. And, you know, not the protocol, but what really gets me more than anything is that usually in this situation, the scenario and the whole protocol of testing positive in any race or big race, it's that it's under, you know, it's not made known to the public. You're noticed. Right. You're given right. notice, and you know they didn't. You know, I mean, look. Let me tell you, if you're the trainer of the horse, and I'm a commission, and you trained a horse that is a positive in him, I'm calling the trainer first. I'm not going to serve the assistant trainer. And they said, well, he's the only one on the grounds. Well, they're not served anyway. They are alerted that there's a positive, and Bob Baffert was never given that courtesy. And you might hate him, you might dislike him, you might think he's a cheater, but the man deserves due process. And, you know, we're playing by rules with the picograms. Well, then we can play rules by the protocol, too. It should have been done. And it's all changed because the protocol was zero picograms for this anti-inflammatory, and then it was 10, and as you mentioned, and as we all know, Medina Spirit tested for 21. It stinks. It really does. It deflates me. It really is really dampened my spirit and my style, because you know, the Triple Crown is tainted, and that's no pun intended right now. It's just that it's just very unfortunate. But I know one thing is that they're trying to dissolve racing here in California, and what the racing venues have to go through the pandemic and beyond that, it has been nothing short of marvelous to keep their doors open. And it's very, very unfortunate. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know. It's
I think
it's a sad day for thoroughbred horse racing.
Yeah, I think that they will. Frankly, I think they'll fail in trying to shut down horse racing in California or anywhere else for that matter. I still think the sport will carry on long after you and I are gone. These people are crazy.
What makes you say that?
I just don't believe. I think that they swing a big stick. That's more like a tree branch than it is a piece of lumber. I think they're always threatening everyone and trying to ruin everyone's life.
I know who you're talking about. What did they do?
You understand what I'm saying?
What did they do about
the earlier? You mentioned earlier PETA is trying to shut down horse racing, and the fact of the matter is, whether it's them or anyone else, I'm saying I think that they will fail in their bid to do that. So I don't think anything's going to happen, frankly. I know they're trying to ruin the business in any way they can. And, you know, I don't believe that it'll, frankly, that it'll happen. But I will say this. I think they should drug the horses. I think they should test them before the races. I don't know why they do all this after the race. And I also think it's hard for people to apologize, frankly, to Bob for the attacks on him the last 24 hours or longer, based on the fact that there's a lot of people that feel that he drugs horses, and he's been doing it for a long time. He's got a reputation for it, and that's all there is to it. And I'm not making this stuff up. I'm not the one. I'm not in the horse media. You are. I'm in the business of I've been hearing it for years about Bob Baffert. And I don't think anybody wants to apologize to him, because a lot of people think he's been getting away with it for a long time.
Well, when's the last time you've been to a Greyhound dog race in the state of Florida? They dissolved that, eliminated that, and they got it on the ballot, and they wiped that all right off the bat. So if you think that they cannot do the same thing with horse racing in the state of California, which you're trying to get on the ballot here in Los Angeles County, and that's all directly to PETA, then we have a couple more thoughts coming. Ben, I'm just really surprised at everything that is going on right now. And it's, you know, there are no winners, Scott. There are no winners in this.
Do you feel that horse racing's going away in the state of California anytime soon? You believe that they're going to vote horse racing out of California? You think that's the next thing that I'm going to be hearing about?
Well, I could only tell you over the last 12 months, PETA has been trying. They are sitting at the they're sitting at the table at the California Horse Racing Board. They have changed the rules of California horse racing. California horse racing right now is on real, real treacherous ground. Santa Anita, Hollywood Park, when it closed, it created the big ball. And there's organizations that want to see thoroughbred horse racing in the state of California eliminated completely, and they would try to get it on the ballot here in the next 2 to 3 years. I would almost bet you anything you wanted that they will try to get this, and they will get this on the ballot. And if it gets on the ballot, you know, with situations happening like right now, then it has a 50-50 chance to be eliminated and dissolved, and I believe that. And the public perception of thoroughbred horse racing wasn't good prior to yesterday, and now the public perception is even worse than it was, you know, 1, 3, 5 years ago. So how do you repair the image of thoroughbred horse racing, Mr. Farrell?
Well, I'll give you this. I know that it's a problem. I know it's been a problem, but I'll tell you what's a bigger problem than horse racing is politicians. The same people that are trying to ruin everything else in the world, including horse racing, are these scumbags that run our governments and run these states and run these counties and run these municipalities and all of these lying, thieving, just absolute tools that are running this country into the ground, that are dividing this country. We got a bigger problem with politicians than we do horses. I can tell you that much. And the way, and let me tell you something else. The way PETA handles their business is no different than the way the mob handles their business. Okay. Their dirty tactics of how they operate their business is no different than the way the mob runs their business over the years, whether it's in Italy or in New York, and everybody knows it. So I'm not a fan of politicians, and I'm not a fan of any of their nonsense and lies and thievery and everything else. But I am a fan of horse racing. I am looking forward to the Preakness, and I'm looking forward to the Belmont Stakes. I'm sorry what happened to your friend. We'll see how it plays out with the second test as it comes back. We'll be in touch, Felix. As always, I got to run. Thank you for your time. You're the best. I always enjoy having you on the show. I appreciate your frankness.
Concert tour. Just put your dollars on concert tour. He will win the Preakness.
All right. Concert tour, Carver High. You heard it here. Write it down. Concert tour in the Preakness. So anyway, we were talking to Felix. It was good having Felix on. I always appreciate Felix. Carver High, though, I have to ask you, I mean, at the very least, like, I'm trying to be, you know, it's easy for me to sound crazy or something. I'm not his friend or anything. I'm not on it. I'm not on anyone's side. I'm not, you know, on the inner circle of any of this. I'm not, you know, I've been to the Derby, the Preakness, the Belmont, you know, 50 times, the three of them combined. I've been there a million times. I've been to the Breeders' Cup. I've been to the, you know, everywhere. You know, I've been everywhere. Arlington, I've been to Santa Anita, Hollywood Park. I've been to Gulfstream. I've been to every race, Aqueduct. I've been to every racetrack in the country 50 times over. I love horse racing. I'm cool with it and everything. But, you know, I've talked about this on the show for years. I mean, like, you've known me for years, and we've always had this conversation, even with Da Silva, about Baffert, that he cheats. And everyone says we're crazy, and people say, oh, he's the greatest thing ever. I can't get past, I personally can't get past five horses this year, just this year. I mean, we're in the fifth month of the year. It's the fifth month. We're in the second quarter, and he's already had five horses drugged, fail drug tests. I mean, is there not a point where you just say, like, what's the problem here? What do we got going on here? And then this horse, and I don't care what anybody says, Felix or otherwise, no disrespect to anybody, but, like, no, did we know one person on the face of the earth that thought that horse would win that race? Name one person that had Medina spirit.
No.
Honestly, no one. And then the horse ran like it had a firecracker in its keister. Okay, so people say, oh, the drug isn't illegal. Well, if it isn't illegal, then how come it's illegal? And then the drug's not illegal as long as you don't do too much of it. Like, does that even make sense? That's like saying, I swear to God, Dad, I only smoked one joint. And that was the night the cop pulled me over. I couldn't believe the first time I ever lit a joint in my mouth, I got pulled over by the popo. I just don't believe it. Like, it's either illegal or it isn't. Now, I said, all right, fair enough. The guy deserves his due process. Fair enough. But they should drug the horses. And I know people say that's not the way it works. Well, it should work that way. They should drug them before, you know, they drug the fighters before the fight. They drug test them before the fight to see if they're high. And then why not the horses? Why do they do it after? And why are all these people allowed near the horse, right? In the stables and everything else. Now there's all these stories of, like, guys that work in the stables going to the bathroom in the hay, and the horse was eating the hay. Like, are you kidding me? What's next? The dog had,
if you believe it.
You know, what's next? The horse had filet mignon and spaghetti bolognese the night before the race, and it was in his it was in his rigatoni. I mean, like, the stories that have come out of this are so ridiculous that I can't even keep up with it anymore. Do you believe for 1 minute that this isn't reality? I'm done. Like, Felix, I respect everything Felix said. Fair enough. I'm being as nice as possible when I say this. He said what he said. I let him say whatever he said. I'm cool with whatever he said. I understand his side of it, his feelings about it, and it disgusts him and everything else. Fair enough. I respect all of that. But let's leave that off now that we're done with that. Let's get your opinion of what you think of this guy. And do you believe that he drugs horses and cheats? And do you believe he's in big trouble, mister?
Yes, I believe that he's in big trouble, mister. I don't believe any of this nonsense. I really don't. That somebody, went to the bathroom in the stall, in the horse's stall, and the horse. So it went from. Let's try to get the chain of custody here. All right, for how this horse tested positive, it went from a human into the hay into the horse. I mean, honestly, what are we doing here? This is like a Columbo episode from the early 80s, you know, and nobody wins at the end. This is one of the most ridiculous things I've ever seen in my life.
I went to the pharmacy and I took it over the counter cold medication, and I ended up with 200 cc's of Jack.
Honestly, it just doesn't make any sense.
200 cc's of roids in my
head. It never ends.
If I want you, all three of them, to hold you, I'm going to slap you. I'm gonna spit on you. I'm gonna kick you, and I'm gonna go woo all night long.
Oh, that is great. That was actually an interview that we did with the horse after the race. That was actually Medina Spirit after winning the Kentucky Derby. That was him right there talking about going all night long. So now the horse is on. Meanwhile, how about the horse? The horse has no idea what's going on. The horse is just eating carrots and hay.
They're short on ears and long on mouth.
That also was the horse. The horse has changed dramatically from after the Derby to now. I think it was mostly the trip to Baltimore is what's done.
You come close, mister, but no cigar.
You see, you can tell that horse sounds different than it did in Louisville. I mean, it just sounds different. I mean, obviously, he's been injected with something.
He's pulling down his pants. Put up your pants, my man. Pull up those pants.
That was the guy that was in the stall taking a leak in the hay. We got footage of him as well. And it's very important that we keep track of all the culprits here. Very dangerous stuff. All right, Carver High, I can't talk about this horse
anymore. He is on fire.
Yes, that horse was on fire from belly to belly. He won. No one ever thought the horse had a chance in hell. I remember before the race, they said, you know, here's Bob Baffert. I said, he's got a horse in this race. You know, this Medina Spirit. And there wasn't one person on NBC that picked the horse. Not one. Wow. Then I had my guy, Felix didn't pick him either. And then I had my guy, De Silva. He didn't, I don't know what race he picked. He picked a different race entirely because his multiple picks were just, they were not Medina Spirit, let me tell you. So here's the deal.
Nobody had the horse.
No one had the horse. But the horse ran like it was on fuego. I mean, this horse.
You know,
he had 21 cc's, baby.
A little extra jump.
Yeah, he had
contaminated hay in his stall. You know,
that stuff's like linguine once it gets wet, that hay. I mean, it is linguine with oil and garlic. I mean, that horse was on fire. Also, tonight we mentioned our friends at PETA and the mob, and I expect to be dead by tomorrow at 4 o'clock.
You put PETA and the mob together, in bed together. So
yes, and I'll be dead by 4 o'clock tomorrow afternoon.
I'll be
killed by one of them. One of those parties. One of those entities is going to come after me, kill my family, and hang my dog from a tree in the backyard by its neck. And then my dog will be blamed for Medina Spirit's roid rage. Anyway, and it is anti-inflammatory, which is a nice way of saying he was flushed out. He was good to go. He didn't have any swelling, no arthritis, no atrophy. He was good to go. He was as clean as Windex, ready to go. That's what they poured in him, was a bottle of Windex before the race. Better than glue. All right, Carver High, talk to me. The Islanders and Penguins start on Sunday with game one of the Eastern Conference. What do you call it? The Eastern Division semis?
I guess first round matchup. Yeah, Eastern Division semis, I guess. Whatever you want to call it. First round matchup, seven games.
Because
series.
The other division is in the East. The East, and what's the other one? That's going to play, like, who's going to play who? The North plays who? The West?
Well, no. It's not done like that. Basically, the four divisions will have one team will come out of those four divisions, right. And then they will be seeded 1 through 4 based on their points.
And so, then one will play 4 and 2 will play 3?
Correct. So you could have in the Stanley Cup final a traditional East versus East or West versus West type of team. You know, you could have, let's say, I'll use Toronto as an example, even though none of us believe they're going to get to the final. But you could have Toronto Pittsburgh or Toronto Boston. Yeah, so that, or Toronto Tampa. You know, that stuff can happen this year
because of the seeding.
Correct.
So they'll do it based on record.
But the East will be Islanders, Penguins, Caps, Bruins. Those are the two first round series.
And let me ask you this question. Will Ovechkin be back for that playoff series?
I think it's up in the air right now. They have held him back. Could he have played any of these games? Maybe. But they still have till Saturday. So they have the whole week here. I think that he will probably be a go on Saturday.
Don't you think they are better than the Bruins?
This year, yes, I do. And I think the Capitals will beat the Bruins. Yes.
And the Penguins are better than the Islanders this year.
I think the Penguins will beat the Islanders. I think the Penguins are going to beat the Islanders.
But the Islanders always beat the Penguins in the playoffs.
I mean, every
time.
There's a couple things that factor into me here, and we're going to, you know, will my mind change all week? Probably not. Am I rooting for the Islanders? Of course I am. I want to see the Islanders win. But A, the Penguins have played better than them over the 56 games. B, they beat them 6 out of 8 in the regular season, which, listen, normally doesn't matter, but it could matter this year where you've played them so many times. And C, Mike Sullivan has lost in the last 2 years in the first round. They lost to Montreal last year. They lost the Islanders and got swept the year before that. Sullivan knows he's got to make something happen here. He's not going to be the Penguin coach anymore. All right, let's be fair. Even though he's won those cups, they've gone out in the first round 2 years in a row. You know how it is. It's a win-now business. Sullivan goes down in the first round again, he's going to be in trouble. He's going to have this Penguin team motivated.
Well, I'll say this much to you, that A, I hate you. B, well, I hate your team. C, every year I have to go through this with you. Every year I have to get into this this tit-for-tat, like, hockey playoff, like, family feud. It's the worst thing ever. Like, I remember at CBS, I couldn't even look at you. I wouldn't even look at you when the games were going on. I couldn't even – I hated even going to work. I couldn't even look at you. I wanted to punch you in the face.
It was tough because that – I mean, the Islanders did sweep them in 19, 2 years ago, as we know, and that made it tougher. It wasn't – listen, the games were, quote, you know, competitive, but a sweep is never fun for anybody. Here's the one thing I'll say that could give the Islanders a chance. Yeah, and you'll agree to this. You know, the Penguin goaltending, as good as it's been, they're not playoff tested. You know, Jarry and DeSmith, they're not playoff tested. You know, there's no more Fleury or Murray who won cups. So I think that that's the one area with the Penguins where maybe the Islanders.
Do you think that Jarry and DeSmith, like Jerry's the guy, right? So is he not?
It's gonna be Jarry.
You have to admit he's played better than Matt Murray has the last couple of years.
Yes, no doubt. No doubt. I will. But I just think people will put the microscope under it as he hasn't done it in the playoffs yet. You know, that's good. You know how they do. They do that with every player.
Right.
Until you win in the playoffs, you know, it doesn't matter. And that's kind of where the Penguin goaltending situation is right now.
Fair enough. I will say this. The Penguins score a lot of goals. And but when they play the Islanders in the playoffs, they don't score any goals. So, like, they lose every game 2-1 or 1-0.
I think the thing for the Islanders is we've seen the Islanders in the playoffs the last few years, you know, play their defensive style. They have not been good at it the past few weeks. They have not scored goals themselves. The Islanders are going to try to win 2-1 games. We'll see if they can do it.
I hate them dead. I just wanted to say that. The Avalanche and Knights are 1-1 after 2. I'll give you the rest of the scores in hockey when we come back. All right, so Avs and Knights 1-1 after 2 periods. One of the problems I have is one of my buddies in Vegas always calls me after every Vegas game and tells me what happens in the game like I give a rat's ass. He just never stops talking to me about the Vegas Golden Knights, and I'm the biggest Penguin fan in the world, and the guy's always telling me about his team. Like, I care. I'm like, dude, honestly, leave me alone. Blues and Kings scoreless in the third. That's a good game. Out in Lipstick City. Panthers beat the Lightning 4-0. How about that playoff preview right there? And they fought tonight. Flyers 4-2 over the Devils. Oilers 4-3 in overtime over the Canadiens. A guy had a ticket for like $70,000. Did you see that bet? And he needed him to win by 2, and they won by 1. He lost the bet. He had a ticket. If they would have won by 2, he would have won 70 grand on like $20 bet. He lost. I'll try to send you the failed parlay. Bruins 3-2 in overtime over the Islanders on a Taylor Hall goal that was magnificent. Predators 5-0 over the Canes. Stars in overtime 5-4 over the Blackhawks. Canucks 3-1 over the Jets. As far as baseball, Angels take the lead in the ninth 5-4 over the Astros in Houston. Beauty. Diamondbacks 5-0 over the Marlins. Rangers Giants 1-1 bottom 7 in San Fran. The Reds beat up the Pirates 14-1. Orioles 4-1 over the Red Sox. There you go. NBA. Warriors 101-85 kicking the Jazz ass in the city by the Bay. Blazers up 12 on the Rockets with 11 left. Pacers beat the Cavs. Hawks by 1 over the Wizards. Wizards cover. Westbrook breaks the all-time record for triple-doubles. Grizzlies by 5 over the Pelicans. Grizzlies win. Pels cover. I hit both sides of that. Bucks got whacked by the Spurs 146-125. There you go. That's everything that happened tonight, Carver High. Well, at least we can still be friends through Saturday.
Yeah, till the weekend.
All right. So nice knowing you. And then on Friday night when we do the show, I'll wish death on you. And then you can have your own sandwich, a hoagie. Congrats on the Rory cover at 19-1 cover. I see you tomorrow at 4 on Coast to Coast. Peace.
Ryan Seacrest here. When you have a busy schedule, it's important to maximize your downtime. One of the best ways to do that is by going to ChumbaCasino.com. Chumba Casino has all your favorite social casino games like spin slots, bingo, and solitaire that you can play for free for a chance to redeem some serious prizes. So hop on to ChumbaCasino.com now and live the Chumba life. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.